right. Thank you. This is a nice opportunity to share some things that I'm still learning about, and it's kind of an exciting project. So maybe you'll have some suggestions for me at the end. So soil, a critical water storage reservoir. Think about that across the landscape in Utah. Only 4% of our land is irrigated, so most of the landscape is natural, and we have 5 national parks. A lot of our landscape is covered in national parks. So agriculture is of interest here in terms of developing a soil moisture forecast, a soil moisture map, as well as these native landscapes. And products that could come from having a good, let's call it a high-resolution map of soil moisture across the state would be forecasting fire hazard. We have a lot of mountains and forests, and as well as flood prediction. So this is maybe part of the motivation. When you look at the network in Utah, it's pretty amazing. Snowtail is sort of located in the high elevations where most of our 80% of our water comes from snow melt, and over 120 stations just from Snowtail. Then there's another 30 scan stations in Utah. Those are generally in the valleys, and all of those have soil moisture monitoring at 3 to 5 depths. There's a lot of other agencies, again, national parks and federal agencies across the state have their own networks. Sometimes they add soil moisture. And then the Utah Climate Center, which is located at Utah State University, has been growing their network. They're now over 120 stations as well, and about 2/3 of those have soil moisture. So overall, we have several hundred soil moisture monitoring stations in the state. So with this vast network, we could generate a map of soil moisture and update that daily from the readings of soil moisture. But even more valuable would be to see what soil moisture might look like down the road in a few days or a week. So that's kind of the goal, is to both generate the map of soil moisture and to be able to forecast that into the future. So we would envision improving water resource management from this development, as well as fire risk prediction, flood prediction, and drought monitoring. So how is soil moisture forecast? Well, I was actually surprised to learn that there's countrywide forecast of soil moisture. In fact, it's worldwide. Global climate forecasting uses a soil moisture prediction. They have to generate this in order to do the global climate modeling. There's also regional climate models. WRF is a commonly used one. The National Weather Service in Salt Lake City generates WRF simulations twice a day at 3 kilometer resolution. So there's soil moisture forecasted through that simulation. UCAR actually does US-wide simulations on an hourly basis at 3 kilometers, which I just learned about in the last few weeks. So there's a lot of resources, a lot of modeling going on, and I think it's in flux to the point that next year there'll be something different. And so some of my concern about developing something here is that it might be obsolete within a few years. So that's another thing I want to try to make sure that this becomes useful and has utility into the future. Land surface models are probably a key here to be able to do this in the future. OLAM is Ocean Land Atmosphere Model. By the way, Danny Orr has organized a workshop, and that's going to be at AGU, I think the Saturday before AGU. And he seems to be excited about that because soil physics might play a bigger role in that climate land surface model. NOAA MP and CLM are used in the U.S. widely. So there's a lot of choices here, and that's another challenge, is to look into these things. Then you've got watershed scale models such as SWOT and a long list of these. So which one would be useful and helpful in this case. And then point scale models. So because we have all these stations, and many of them have detailed soil profile descriptions, a hydro simulation would be ideal at the stations. And so that's another thing that we're interested in. So beyond that, the model, we need initial conditions. So that's where the measurements at the climate stations come in. And then boundary conditions, so weather. And I don't know if you look at the forecast here in Tampa a couple days ago, it's going to be raining today. Well, it's not raining now. And so these weather forecasts are critical and yet very unreliable. So the global forecast system is the foundation for global climate modeling. So this forecast system, run by the National Centers for Environmental Protection, generates these global climate forecasts, and they do it in four parts. They have an atmospheric model, an ocean model, a land-soil model, and a sea ice model. And those are all used to give this sort of foundation for running the global climate model. Soil moisture in this model is forecast in four layers at a resolution of a quarter of a degree, so that's a 28-kilometer pixel across the globe. And so this is, again, the boundary layer for the global climate models. And so what does a 28-kilometer pixel look like? This is the map on the right is the valley, Salt Lake Valley. So the Salt Lake City is there, the capital. And this is the largest population in Utah, and one pixel covers this whole valley. So that's not very useful. And getting to something that's higher resolution is kind of the goal here. So the inspiration for this really came from Tyson Ochsner's work in Oklahoma, where he developed this soil moisture map using the MesoNet. There's 77 counties, and I think each county has at least one of these weather stations with soil moisture. And Tyson developed this. It's approximately 1 kilometer resolution, and it relies on the precipitation satellite data to update the map on a daily basis. So they generate this map at three different soil moisture levels because that's where they monitor. And this is really a nice piece of work, and you get these maps daily, and there's a lot of resources that have been developed out of the MesoNet. So beyond what Tyson's done, the MesoNet has all kinds of products, fire risk and other products that are useful. So going back to this global forecast system, 28-kilometer pixel size compared to the Oklahoma soil moisture map. You can see the vast improvement, and that's kind of one of our goals, is to get something that's much more useful in Utah. So we received a seed grant for a pilot study from the Utah Agricultural Experiment Station, and our objectives, first of all, to generate a soil moisture map using the available measurements across the state. And then the next challenge is to simulate future soil moisture. So that's kind of where we're at, exploring how to do that, what resources to tie into and employ. At this point, we've already got access to all of the soil moisture data in the state from different agencies, and we can bring that in and use that data. But we haven't decided where to go for the forecast and how to do that. So once you generate the soil moisture forecast, then we envision other products being developed from various state agencies and maybe even federal agencies in the state. So for the local scale, we started with Hydrus 1D numerical simulations. Since we have, again, soil pit descriptions at many of these sites, and we have soil moisture monitoring then we know the soil moisture and time. And we chose a couple here just as an example. This is in Logan Canyon, just above the university. And one of these stations on the left is the Tony Grove Ranger Station, about 1,800 meters elevation. And then the star on the right is at about 3,600 meter elevation. And that's another monitoring site where we do research. So to do the soil moisture forecast, we first of all have to set up the hydro simulation. You can use historical data to run it and calibrate it using the soil moisture information, or we could just plug in the soil information from the soil pit description. Sometimes that doesn't work all that well. So in this case, we've run it, calibrated it based on the soil moisture readings. And here's an example on the left. This is the observed soil moisture from the five soil moisture sensors in the profile over 9 days. And then on the right, you see the forecast that was generated. So you see we got a little more precipitation in the I have a pointer here somewhere. Okay. So the precipitation actually measured is here. And then this is what the forecast gave us at some point, probably just before the rain event. So we're showing some historical data and then showing a forecast of precipitation along with the hydro simulation forecast into the future. So in this case, you can see this looks kind of impressive. But again, it really relies so much on the precipitation forecast and how accurate that is, because as we saw here, it's not raining today, but there was a forecast for rain. And so my simulation would have been off quite a bit. The other thing that happens is that as you update the forecast, weather forecast information in the future, it's much better as you get closer in time. And so this is another issue that we have to look at. You know, how far into the future is it really feasible to generate this forecast? Several days is probably relatively easy and good information, but going out a week or two, you get some really unreliable results that way. So in summary, I guess the challenges that we're looking at now is how do we get access to weather forecast data most efficiently? If we go to the global climate forecast, that's a very large, large-scale forecast. If we want to use the regional climate model forecast, those are probably more reliable, but question of timing, how often do we update that? And how do we get access to that data? So we're still working on some of those things. Distributing the precipitation temporally and spatially is a real challenge to generate these forecasts. And that's probably one of the biggest scientific challenges that we all face. And then can we run the numerical models efficiently and consistently? You know, if we run these, who fixes bugs or program crashes and so we're looking to see if we can partner with some agencies that might be interested in actually doing this long term. And so our goal ultimately would be to take what we have in Utah in terms of monitoring, generate soil moisture maps, and also ultimately get some capability for forecasting soil moisture. Thank you.
Yeah. second one is about there is national right now the weather models about the flood prediction.
So flood prediction model?
Yeah, flood prediction across the contiguous 49 states, and it's a supercomputer done.
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many things going on. I certainly don't know about all of them. I've heard that Wharf Hydro is also another model, and maybe that's what they're doing for this. So yeah, so many choices. That's one of the challenges.
Yeah.